Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
One vision, one voice, one message. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM and 729 Cape Pulpit, impacting lives from Gauteng to the Cape.
It's Molweni Youth Praise Choir this afternoon with Psalm 61 this afternoon. We get straight into our chat with Tamara right here on the show. Tamara, good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good afternoon, Paul, and all your listeners on Radio Pulpit this afternoon.
I'm going to get you to say your surname.
Nganya.
Nganya. Okay, yeah. I wasn't that far off after all.
Proudly, Xhosa, and all the way from the Eastern Cape.
Hello, hello. Tamara Nganya.
Yeah.
Lovely. Tamara, we're going to chat about, you know, this lovely workshops that you plan to have. But in essence, I think maybe before we go anywhere, let me just allow you to explain what is a patient's experience and just do your plan going forth.
So from my 11-year tenure in the healthcare industry as a marketing manager, I've had a lot of instances where I've witnessed how patients react to how they are being treated by healthcare professionals and also non-healthcare professionals. So in essence, patient experience literally starts from the time the patient is driving through the hospital, passing the security, going to the admission, going into the ward, being served by, you know, the cleaners, the people that bring the food, the nursing care, the doctor care, and all the way up to discharge. So people need to understand that in a hospital or in a doctor's practice, every single person forms part of the food chain. If one particular part gets messed up, it loses the experience for the whole patient.
Sure.
So if they don't understand that how you leave a patient feeling is determined by how you treat that patient, from your facial expression to the words that come out of your mouth to the clinical care that is given to the patient. Remember, if you are a patient, you've got all the time in the world, so you are very observant about who is coming into contact with you and how they treat you while you are in their care. So, and a lot of people fail to understand that when one is in a doctor's practice or in a hospital, people are always anxious because they are ill.
I actually didn't realize, like, what you're saying makes a lot of sense, that your experience does not start when you enter consulting room or you're with the clinician or the doctor, but it starts right at the gate.
It starts at the gate. Everyone needs to be cognizant of, are we professional? Am I greeting Otamara how she's meant to be greeted? So what I found out, a lot of people, especially in hospitals based in a gasi, you know, for lack of a better word, you know, they get familiar because we are all black. We speak the same language. You find that, like, hi, dimamzo. In a professional setting, you cannot do that. And right now, how am I supposed to trust you with my health care? If you're not even getting to a point where you see the need to respect me from the get-go.
Sure. I was quite torn as well. I visited, which I'd love to go back to, a dentist, I think 2 days ago, if I'm not mistaken, if my memory serves me well. Mm-hmm. And I remember just thinking about it because I was just so torn as to whether I'm going to come back to this place or not. It's the closest dentist to my place. The last time I remember I would drive like 30 minutes to visit a dentist. But this time around, I found one that was, well, I mean, 4 minutes away from my place. But I wasn't entirely happy with the service. And the thing is, I mean, it goes back to what you're saying. You know, maybe the main individual was really nice, the docs were the dentist, but, you know, the reception you got wasn't so great. The, you know, security at the gate was nice, but, you know, and you get quite torn as a, what should I say, client, like you're saying, client-based.
For sure. So I think these are the things that are not spoken about.
Yeah.
People would complain, or rather not even complain, they won't go back.
Yes, that's the thing. You don't complain, but you leave the place.
You leave. So in essence, every hospital and every doctor's room or physio or dietitian, they need to understand that their front line represents their brand, their practice. If that patient feels that as much as the, you know, a health treatment that I got from the doctor, the dentist, physio, but the lady who received me was rude, her demeanor, her facial expression, her body language, all of that encompasses how a patient feels. So if I feel that my whole entire experience is dented by one, you know, particular area, now you'll also be torn in like, do I really want to go back there? So the healthcare space is very sensitive, and that's why people don't understand. When someone is not feeling well, their emotions are highly strung. Their the anxiety is also highly, you know, elevated. So anything and everything in the healthcare space, we are there to serve the patient, and we are also there to show a lot of care.
And the care starts right there. And I mean, I think this is quite lovely because it applies to all institutions in essence.
Absolutely.
Yes, we're talking in the context of a health space, but I feel like, you know, when you're running a business, a radio station, or anything else for that matter, it applies. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You don't just start with the person at the entrance, or rather at reception, but it goes beyond that from the individuals that receive, you know, your guests from the gate. Should you consider training, that's where you should start, right?
Absolutely. Because I did approach one hospital and I said to them, the nursing and the admin care inside the facility will obviously have its faults here and there. And obviously they have their own program where patient experience is concerned. But what about the outsourced services? What about the people that receive us from the gate? The people who cook for you as a patient, you know, and like you're saying as well, every other industry could also benefit from this training because we fail to understand that customer service goes far beyond than what you know currently. The times have changed. Technology has also changed. People obviously get to a point to feel like, why really should I leave my house? I could just do things electronically. But we want the human contact. We want to interact with people, you know, so that we can also fill our, you know, emotional cups.
Absolutely.
So the training will benefit all industries, but because, you know, healthcare is something that I'm very passionate about, it's something that I want to first drive here at home, you know, and then we take it elsewhere.
Makes a lot of sense. It definitely makes sense. Now, why this very initiative? I mean, partly you've answered, but you could have done so many other projects, and I know you've got a passion, obviously, for the health space. But why this initiative?
For me, what I've also realized that is patient experience in a hospital or a medical practice is disaggregated. So there isn't anything that is consistent where standard of care is concerned. Obviously, anyone and everyone who interacts with the patient need to understand that we need to have, you know, consistent standards when we interact with a patient, a loved one, a mom, a dad. Because being a mom now as well, I actually understand how mothers or parents feel when a child is admitted in the pediatric ward and saying, I won't leave my child here.
Yes.
But how do we then build that trust? If we remain consistent in the standard of care in all facilities across the country, then the community will trust that even if I leave my child or my husband or my wife, I know that they are in good hands.
You can continue.
No, what I was trying to say is, so we've got a lot of work to do in the healthcare space. We need to build the trust, you know, in our communities so that even if it's close proximity to our homes or we have to drive 30 k's away, you drive to that institution knowing very well that when I get there, the very security or reception staff or nurse or doctor, they'll treat me like a king or queen.
Mm.
So we just need to always understand that without the patient, any establishment will not understand.
Yeah.
So in terms of COVID, people need to understand as well that if you don't do your work properly, you might lose it.
Yeah, very true. You know what I like about this? I mean, just thinking, of what you're saying. I mean, I had my child in hospital, and the thing is, a lot of the times you find that health, at times, I mean, this doesn't apply to everyone, assuming that people know. You know what I mean? If you have individuals who are entering a certain space and do not know what to expect, it's your duty, as a clinician, even if you can't do it, but someone else needs to somewhat, tell people what to expect. You know what I mean? I think sometimes individuals just assume that you should know what to do. You should know when to come into the ward, when not to come, what to do, how long to stay. I mean, those things that can be minor, but really are a big deal to a mom.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. That forms part of the induction when someone is admitted. So yes, the nurse or team leader, on the floor is that receives the mom or, myself or you, they will obviously let where you're going to be, where the bathroom is, how often the doctor will come to see you for a checkup, if you're going to theater, what time and so forth. Because then once you're also aware of your treatment plan, it will allay your anxiety.
Absolutely. I think it will most definitely help a great, great deal. So we're going to make our way back. We'll take a little bit of a breather. We're joined on the line by Tamara Nganya. Yes? No?
Perfect.
I've known you so long, and yet I can't pronounce your surname. It's embarrassing. Oh, you're a child of God for real. Thank you so much. We can learn a thing or two from you indeed. Okay, we'll take a little bit of a break and then make our way back right here on Heart to Heart, right here on Radio Pulpit. Really interesting discussions that we're having.
It's difficult to face the overwhelming pressures of life alone. Sometimes we just need someone to talk to, someone to listen to us. And what better way to do that than through a quick and easy WhatsApp text? Whether you're having a hard time coping with school, family issues, being bullied, depression, or anxiety, speak to someone who cares today. Send a WhatsApp message to 064-530-6805. Or 074-995-9085. Our I Am Youth Counseling team, Charles DeToy and Danny Vambili, are ready to connect with you today.
Radio Pulpit is a family radio station committed to biblical values. For this reason, we have signed a code of conduct with the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa. Under the code, Radio Pulpit is committed to giving news that is accurate, comments that are fair, and programming that is not offensive, obscene, or harmful. If you feel that Radio Pulpit is not living up to that code, we encourage you to direct your complaint in writing to the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa, P.O. Box 412-365, Craig Hall 2024, or send a fax to 011-787-0280, or email to bccsa@nabsa.co.za. The Broadcasting Complaints Commission is also obtainable on their website, www.bccsa.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Heart to Heart from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. every Thursday and Friday with Mpopu Dini.
Faith, hope, and love. Experience victory in your life on 657 a.m.
It's Jonathan. Lord, I need your help. Oh, feels so rude interrupting him. Beautiful song indeed. You just don't even want to interrupt. You want to keep quiet until, he's done singing, right? Till the very last note. It's Heart to Heart right here on Radio Pulpit, right here on 657 AM. That's where we are. Alternatively, www.radiopulpit.co.za. You can easily connect with us on our website. We are on different social media platforms as well. We've got an app. pretty easy to use. You can download it and be able to access Radio Pulpit wherever you are. It is very convenient, very, very convenient. So you can just download it. We are joined this afternoon by Tamara Nganywa right here on Heart to Heart this afternoon. And we really are engaging right here on the show. Tamara.
Hi, Paul.
Yes, you are still with me.
Absolutely. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, really talking very interesting things, you know, right here on the show. And I mean, when you talk about, you know, healthcare space and that sort of thing, and the assumption is that it starts when you get to the consulting room, but you have given us so much to think about with it starting right at the entrance. That's where experience starts. And I mean,
absolutely,
considering that you're not feeling well, you should be treated with extra care, right?
Absolutely. They should lay the red carpet for you.
Oh, can they just?
In essence, that's what should happen for every single patient.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Exactly. That's really not too much to ask for. We're speaking about patients' experience. You know, you've probably had your own experience, either going, like you said, to the dentist, the doctor, wherever, or to a healthcare facility. You know, you're more than welcome to also share your experience with us on 37871. That's our SMS number, or 0826572729. You can also just share your experiences. I was just sharing my experience of visiting a dentist a couple of days ago. You know, and the thing about us, Tamara, is that we're very loyal. I don't know, maybe let me speak for myself. Once I'm treated well and I'm happy, I keep coming back.
Absolutely.
I keep coming back. So that's something.
But that loyalty comes from how they treated you.
Exactly. That's the key word. That's the key word. Now,
absolutely,
let's talk about who the target audience is and why.
So in essence, when the idea came was when I was still employed, right? Mm-hmm. And I witnessed how patients were being treated. Whether, you know, it's a neighbor that decided to come to your hospital, you still need to remain a professional, right?
Yes.
So the people that obviously are part of the workshop will definitely be the doctors and the nurses, the admin staff, and also the outsourced services, which would be your security, the people who cook your food, to the cleaners. And also your physios, your radiology department, every single person that forms part and parcel of your treatment regime. So, and because now the workshop is also accredited by the South African Medical Association, the clinicians, they can obviously update their bodies that they've attended the workshop and they get points. So because the admin staff will get certification, but they won't obviously, you know, they don't also belong to a body, so they won't be able to do anything with those points. But everyone who attends will get a certification, and it has earned ethical points.
I see.
Yes, because it's so important, because the workshop itself just highlights patient rights to a safe environment, patient rights to be treated with courtesy, empathy, and respect by the healthcare and non-healthcare professional, patient privacy throughout the process of receiving their health treatment, and lastly, the right to know the name of the health professional and non-health professional who is involved in their treatment plan.
I think this is so important.
So for me, I always drive that whoever comes in contact with the patient, your name tag needs to be on.
Always.
So the mere fact that your badge is not there, it means you don't want to be held accountable for your actions. And that is my problem.
Yeah. And do you also think as patients we are aware and are exercising our rights?
No. Definitely not. I think the patients, when some of them would complain, they would be like, my medical aid pays your salary. In essence, that is correct to a certain extent. But can we move away from the monetary side? Can we focus on how did you receive me? How is my treatment? And then will I then be able to trust you with my life, my family, my kids, should I fall ill again?
Sure.
Because money, we're going to leave here on earth.
Yeah, you can say that again. Say it out loud.
Money, the money we leave here on earth.
Remind us of that point.
The human contact is what makes more sense to me more than anything else. Let's trust each other. Let's also trust the person who's going to be giving you, you know, your health treatment. If you have any, and the other thing, Mpo, is that because I'm in the healthcare space, I've learned some of the medical jargon. And then you'll find a mom who works in finance or whatever industry she comes from. And then she goes to, you know, a hospital and they tell her, but no, you've just suffered preeclampsia. She has no idea what that is. So Nati, when we explain to patients what the problem is, we need to do it in layman terms.
Yes.
We can just say to the mom, mama, or Mrs. So-and-so, blood pressure during pregnancy is dangerous. Please learn to control your emotions. If hubby has made you upset, make as if it's a fly that passed, you know, in front of your face. Pay no mind to it. Protect yourself and protect your child.
Simple
so the medical,
yeah.
Simple as that. So it's also very important not to always say, but no, but Miss Nanya, you owe us R100, therefore we can admit you. Those are not the important things. The important things are, can we just address the health problem that Tamara has? So that Tamara, when she walks away, she knows how to better care for herself and also say to Mpo, the treatment I got yesterday, I am so impressed. I'm definitely going back there. Because also word of mouth is very important. You would honestly not even spend money on marketing just because your treatment has gone so incredible that people cannot wait to start talking good things about you.
Sure. And
because marketing is expensive.
It is. I mean, if you're running your own business and you don't necessarily have a marketing budget, COVID happened and everything, here's a tip for you.
Absolutely. Patient experience will speak volumes on its own. On its own. People will come back. Patients will bring their moms, their husbands, their kids, their everybody.
Sure. And that's exactly what your business needs.
Absolutely.
That's exactly what your business needs. Wow, Tamara, this has been quite insightful. Now, how does... you know, the workshop reinforce the POPIA Act in relation to patients' confidentiality and patients' rights, which we spoke briefly about?
Of course. So where POPIA Act is concerned, we just always have to reiterate that everything that has to do with a patient is private. Whether it's a celebrity or whoever it is, you can't even go and tell your mom who was in the practice today.
Oh, yes.
So there was also an instance from one of the hospital groups where a celebrity was lying in the hospital and a nurse tweeted or wrote on her Facebook, I don't remember.
Those things
can come back to the establishment, and obviously it violates the patient rights. It also violates their rights to privacy. Some people are so private that they don't even tell their family members they've been admitted to hospital. Here you are, blasting it on top of the rooftop that Tamara has been admitted to Hospital X. So the POPIA Act reinforces that anything that has to do with anyone is deemed private. And whoever then breaks the POPIA Act will then obviously be held liable for that. So the healthcare space is even more crucial, because some people, you know, have got illnesses that they haven't even divulged to their family members. And then here you are, you can't wait to say, oh, Tamara is sick with diabetes, for example. So we always have to reiterate to the doctor's receptionist, to the nursing staff, to the admin personnel, that whoever receives a file, whoever comes, you know, and ask the question, how is Tamara doing? Tamara needs to give consent to that information being shared to a third party.
Yeah. And that's done a lot, Shame. You see it, like you're saying, with people in the public eye a lot of the times. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how these news will break, particularly if someone is in a public care facility. You know, you always hear stories and things that are just unnecessary, really.
Absolutely. And the other thing, the community also needs to be aware that should your loved one be admitted, they can also now come and say, can we get further information? You know, what is wrong with Tamara? Hey. Tamara needs to be the one that says, I've got diabetes, I've got hypertension, I've got this, I've got that. Because should Tamara now be well and understand that the information has been shared, I could sue the hospital, I could sue the doctor. So we just need to always reiterate that patient information is private under every circumstance.
And I think we need to stop probing as well, stop questioning.
Absolutely.
When someone is not well and they're at home, check up on them. How are you doing? Are you well? But don't dig for details, because I think
Absolutely.
We tend to do that without even noticing that we're infringing on someone's right to privacy, you know, so that becomes very important. It starts with you,
Absolutely.
In your car or anywhere else. And like, especially a lot of the times when someone is late, like, I don't know, we just have all these follow-up questions that are unnecessary, you know.
I agree.
Yeah, thank you so much, Tamara. Before we wrap up, anything else that we might have left out before we wrap it up?
For me, whoever then is interested in the healthcare space, whether it's a doctor's wounds who's listening this afternoon, or someone who is, you know, in a hospital setting, they can just get a hold of you. They can obviously get my details, and then we can just offer the training to them. But for me, we just always need to be cognizant of the fact that anyone who is not feeling well, we have to always go an extra mile, being, you know, compassionate and not robbing them of their dignity. So we are in the space that, you know, we are there to serve the patient. So let's do that. And obviously, if we are never able to, you know, be empathetic to how people live, we just need to always, you know, pep talk ourselves when we wake up in the morning that I'm here to serve, you know, and that patient is very important to me. And that's all. I mean, everything else then will just fall into place.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Tamara. Really appreciate your time this afternoon. I think this has been quite fruitful and educational to some of us, you know, in knowing and not just knowing, but also exercising.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
I'm happy to be part of the show this afternoon.
Ooh, we're happy to have you. Happy Friday.
So next time, happy Friday.
Lovely. Thanks, Tamara.
Thanks, and
Paul. It's 2 minutes before top of the hour, right here on Radio Pulpit, right here on Heart to Heart with myself and Paul Puttini, right here on 657 AM. So that was Tamara Nganywa, right here on the show. Thank you so, so much. We really appreciate your time. We appreciate your contribution.
The search continues for top quality South African Christian music. If you are a new artist or releasing a new CD, then send it to Radio Pulpit. For more information, please visit the Radio Pulpit website. That's www.radiopulpit.co.za. Or phone us during office hours, 012 334 1200. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Radio Pulpit is a family radio station committed to biblical values. For this reason, we have signed a code of conduct with the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa. Under the code, Radio Pulpit is committed to giving news that is accurate, comments that are fair, and programming that is not offensive, obscene, or harmful. If you feel that Radio Pulpit is not living up to that code, we encourage you to direct your complaint in writing to the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa, P.O. Box 412-365, Craig Hall 2024, or send a fax to 011-787-0280 or email to bcca
at nabsa.co.za. The Broadcasting Complaints Commission is also obtainable on their website, www.bccsa.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Radio Pulpit's Facebook page makes you more a part of the station than ever before. Now you can give your opinion regarding our programs or even contact your favorite presenter. You can get the latest news and existing programs and communicate with other listeners. Come on, let your fingers do the talking on Radio Pulpit's Facebook page. It's interactive and dynamic. Just visit facebook.com/Radio Pulpit.
Download our app now and listen to us wherever you go. Available in the App Store and Play Store.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.